sitting in restaurant Wednesday, I said, might have been Thursday, Boise, Idaho, in one of the restaurants I'm coaching up there. And I'm sitting there and says, hey, you haven't sent me a title yet. So I immediately went into panic mode. And I'm sitting in the lobby of the restaurant, started doing searches on, you know, different things. And I came across this title. And one of the managers comes up and says, you're looking for an inspirational quote? And I was like, yeah, I am actually. And I start explaining what I'm going to be doing on Sunday. I came across this, and how do you explain that? How do you do that? How do you be a full-time Christian in today's world when, you know, if you I can't even stay mad for 24 hours. Well, maybe I can, but I mean, can I put a smile on my face for 24 hours? I mean, I can't sleep for 24 hours. So how do you be a full-time Christian for 24 hours? I mean, if you think of all the, and I think Peter said an interesting statement. If you look in your Bibles, if you look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. I'm going to give you guys a chance to pull that up. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. It says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. You start thinking about that again. How do you do that? How do you wake up every single day and start off in the mind of, how can I serve God better? How can I serve God more? How can I love God more? I mean, think about it. You go to work, right? You're getting your car and somebody cuts you off. Do you honk your horn? Do you say something entertaining? You know, because right then you know you're not glorifying God, and you go back and you say, oh my gosh, I failed again. I failed. And we go through this, and you know, when Peter says, do whatever you say, whatever you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. I just don't know how to. If you go look and say, you know, living for God's glory, you know, he asked us to be a Sunday-only Christian. He asked us to not do it part-time. He asked us to wake up. He asked us to evangelize. He asked us to preach. He asked us to teach. He asked us to coach. He asked us to show what being with him is like. And I just, and we get overwhelmed with, I'm never going to be able to do this. And then you think about grace. And you think about when he said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And you remember what Jesus did on the cross for each and every one of us. But one thing we fail to do a lot of times is remembering, probably because we don't, maybe haven't educated ourselves well enough, or maybe because we don't practice it enough. And it's a simple phrase. Put God first. When you're making a decision, you're putting your calendar out. We'll get to that a little bit later. But remember the phrase this morning, put God first. Now I'm going to dim the lights here. I got a video that I want us to watch, about 10 minutes long. But it's a collection of people giving these examples and thoughts about putting God first.
One, put God first. Put God first in everything you do. I didn't always stick with him, but he always stuck with me. So stick with him in everything you do.
Can you say without hesitation that God is first in your life? It's silly to say that we don't have time for God. And if we don't have time for him, that he's not first in our lives. Do you think about God and his goodness in your life? Do you take time to thank God for your blessings, even little ones? Live to please the Lord. Make decisions that are pleasing to God. So are you trying to find a place to put God into your schedule? Or would you be willing today to say, God, from now on, you're going to be first, and I don't care what else has to go, or what I have to change, what I have to make an adjustment in. I want to keep you first in my life in everything. Let me tell you, being a Christian just does not work out right if God is a sideline in your life.
never meet with other people before you meet with God. If you'll take time to acknowledge God, say, God, I need you today. Lead me, guide me, keep me on the right path. Not only will your day go better, but God will keep you from making mistakes.
But until you find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there will be always something missing. You can't rely on you because you will fail you every single time, just about. It's not about me. It's not about my ability. It's not anything about that. It's all about Jesus. It's not about what you have or what you don't have, or what you wish you had or what you wish you didn't have. It's all about Jesus, that no matter where you are in your life right now, if you ask God to forgive you of your sin and you repent of your sin, God will come into your life, forgive you of your sin. You'll receive His life, His blessings, His life eternal, and His life. Life's plan for your life. Not my plan. I don't want my plan. Sometimes we just need to get over ourselves and actually realize that sometimes God actually has a better plan. God allows things that we don't understand, but I want you to know if you hold on to Him, He'll hold on to you. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, even when you cannot walk, He'll carry you. When you don't get a miracle, you can still be a miracle.
But this is what I've understood. In life, some people don't need you to preach a sermon, they need you to live one. And so when they see you living it, they can connect and identify with that.
One of the ways that you can take an ordinary life and make it extraordinary is to learn to do every single thing that you do with and for God. Raise your kids for God. Let your marriage glorify God. Let your attitude glorify God. Let God into everything that you do. God believes in you. He's got hope for you. He's got a future plan for you. And no matter how many times you've messed up, God is willing to give you another chance and another chance and another chance if you'll just be serious about your relationship with Him.
Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy as he would try to whisper to you, God's not for you. God's against you. That's a lie from hell. I got news for you. God is for you. He's not against you. He loves you. He's on your side.
Intellectuals are now jabbering that God and heaven are far removed and far away. God is as close as your next prayer. Ask Him for things that are impossible, because with God, nothing is impossible. Ask Him to defeat the giants in your life, because our God is a giant killer. Ask Him to divide the sea before you and to bury Pharaoh and watch Him turn your enemies into fish food. Ask Him. Ask Him to send fire from heaven as He did for Elijah, and He will. Ask Him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and He will. He said you will walk through the fire and the fire will not burn you. You will walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask Him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Pray, pray, pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power.
That power is the ability to move mountains out of the way. Too little is spent in prayer, and too much time is spent in talking about the problem. If people would just start to pray and stop talking about the problem, we would see phenomenal things take place.
Prayer is the key that unlocks the gates of heaven and closes the gates of hell. Prayer has the power to cure sickness and disease. Prayer can shatter the shackles of misery and habit that are tormenting your life, or the life of your son or daughter, or the life of your husband or wife. Prayer does not need proof. Prayer needs practice.
People need to worship more. You need to take more time. Not going to God in prayer, oh God, Lord, we've got this problem. Forget about your problems. Go to God and just begin to worship Him. Begin to exalt Him. Begin to extol Him. Begin to call Him by His names. Talk about His greatness. Talk about how awesome he is. Talk about how mighty he is.
All giants seem larger than they really are. You think you'll not be able to get control over whatever that giant is. It seems larger than it really is. It's not larger than our God. It's not larger than your Savior. Remember these five words. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. There is no giant so great that he is not greater still.
It matters not where the road took you in this year or how your year turned out. I'm encouraging you tonight by the word of God. The Spirit says, call on God one more time. One more time, we have, if we're here today, if you're here tonight, it is testimony that you have a new opportunity. You've got a fresh start right here, right now. We get to reboot. We get to do it again. We will not cure what happened in the past, for the past is irretrievable. But the future is available.
See, the older I get, the more I realize that you can't take life nor moments for granted. I can deal, personally, I can deal with death better than I can deal with regret. Whatever I got to say to you, I'd rather say it. Whatever I want to give you, I want to give it. Whatever I need to express, I want to express it, because the next second is not promised. All you have is the fierce urgency of now, right now, this present moment. You don't have long to get over whatever you're going to get over, climb over your inhibitions or fear. The clock is ticking while you are thinking about it. You are running out of time. There's a rush to do it. When you woke up this morning, God gave you an opportunity. What could be a better gift than to get an opportunity? And what a tragic waste it is to have an opportunity and not use it. Not maximize it. Not live it to its fullest. And to assume you have tomorrow. How arrogant of you to assume that you have tomorrow, when in fact all you have for sure is right now. Right now. Get it right, right now. Get it said, right now. Get it done, right now. Open your heart, right now. Write the letter, right now. Express the love, right now. Because if you don't, I can tell you from experience, coffins can't hear.
You know, don't ever waste a day. You know, there's something really interesting about time. We all get the same amount in a day. Every day is 24 hours. And some people are very, very fruitful and effective, and some people just waste their time day after day after day. And that's a choice that we make. But there's one thing about time. Once it goes by, you never get it back. So how tragic it is to waste any day of your life. I think we need to live every day like it was our very last one, and live it to the absolute fullest that we can live it.
And anything you want good, you can have. So claim it. Work hard to get it. When you get it, reach back. Pull someone else up. Each one, teach one. Don't just aspire to make a living. Aspire to make a difference.
They were said right there. We need the lights up. Jen a little bit. When we talk about being a full-time Christian, we're all going to fail, right? But God wants from us his passion about being a full-time Christian. And it takes work. It takes effort. You know, Sean, did you become a great welder immediately? Don't answer that. Don't answer. I mean, now did you become an expert marketing person overnight? Richie, did you become an expert civil engineer overnight? Did you make some mistakes? Did you lose $100,000 doing it? Probably. So, I mean, I didn't become an expert, restaurant consultant overnight. And Marie, did you become a great cook overnight? Maybe. No? I mean, it takes passion, right? It takes effort. It takes practice. I know Sean is passionate about when he's building something. I know Richie's passionate about when he's building something. I know Natalie was passionate about when she was in marketing. I know Jennifer's passionate, with her patients. And each one of us, but God wants that same expectation when you're being a Christian. And he wants you to practice at being a Christian. So I'm going to give you some steps today to look at. And it's going to be very similar to the way you interact and act in your daily lives, in your job, or when you were working before you retired. The first thing you got to do is prioritize what's important to you. What do you need to get done today or for the week? And you're going to find that if you identify your top priorities for that day and you include God in that top priority for the day, you'll get it done. Secondly, I want you to establish some boundaries. I want you to establish boundaries for your time and your energy. When I said a minute ago, I said God wants passion about things. So if you just give him a little bit, you're not going to get a whole lot back out of it. But if you prioritize your time and you give him a whole lot, he's going to give you a whole lot back by the end of it. A daily devotion. If you think about when your job, you took some time daily to get better, right? You learned to read a little more. You investigated, you researched how to get better at that job. Well, the same thing God wants from us is you got to take the time to take a minute and research and read and learn more about the Bible and become more knowledgeable and become closer. And you do that with a daily devotional. Integrate faith into your daily life. If you think about morning prayer, nighttime prayer, if you're surrounded by a room and you're in a restaurant, do you take the time to hold hands and pray together? If you're in leading lunch by yourself, do you take the time to stop a prayer before you eat because you're worried about what somebody else might think? God doesn't care what anybody else thinks, I assure you. He just wants you to prioritize with him. Community. I know we have all our family, we have our longtime friends, but God wants you to spend time with like-minded people. Because he clearly states you can't grow or be held accountable when you need to, or help hold somebody else accountable if you're not surrounded yourself with like-minded individuals. If you surround yourself with people that don't care anything about being a Christian, you're going to fall away. You're going to forget what it's like to be a full-time Christian. Work ethically. And I think this is an important one. It used to stand for something when somebody used to put in their resume, I attend such and such church. Because a boss would look at that and they would say, I'm hiring that person because that person is not going to steal from me. I'm going to hire that person because I know they're going to work hard. They're going to do what they said they were going to do. They're going to show up when they said they were going to. They're going to stay like they said they were going to. They're not going to disappear. And I'm going to find trust in that person. And being a Christian has a lot to do with that. Family time. My wife would tell me right away, why'd you say that? Because you're always gone or doing this or doing that. But you got to stop and take time for your immediate family. And I just mean your Christian family as well. You got to, if it's getting up sometimes to church, going to Sunday, because sometimes no matter how tired you are, this is your family. Get up and come. Get up and come. They want to see you. I want to see you. I want to smile at you. I want to shake your hand. But just being there is important because you're giving back and you're committed, you're passionate about being involved. Take a day of rest. I don't know if I know how to do that. But you got to take a day of rest. If you're constantly going, going, and going, you're going to lose sight on what the ultimate goal is. You got to sit back and relax and reorganize. Collect your thoughts. Sit down. And then start off on the new adventure of passion. Flexibility. You know, God, there are so many times that things can throw a wrench in your life, right? There's so many, you know, accidents can happen or things you didn't know were coming. But, you know, if you go back and say, okay, I got this thrown at me right now. Let me be flexible a little bit. Let me just say, take a break, relax, set back, come back to my initial thought of, it's all in God's hands, right? Because if I go the opposite route, if I'm not flexible, if I don't know things are going to come at me, I can go down a dark path, you know, very quickly. And the last one is, give yourself grace. I think this is a hard one, right? I love the story of the prodigal son, right? To the young man that looked out and his dad had sheltered him from what was out there, and he took his inheritance and go found it, and then he lost it all and he was able to come back. No one is so far gone that God can't give it back to you in grace. It doesn't matter what you have done. He said, come to me. I died on the cross for you. I said I was coming back, and I said I'm coming back again. But no one cannot come back with God's grace, no matter what you've done. Accept it. Don't be fearful of coming in a place or telling your friends, it's okay to come in. You are not too far gone. And lastly, I want to give you two things. I talked about daily devotions a minute ago. He said, put God first, right? In the whole video, it's giving you 10 whole minutes of people talking about putting God first. If you don't wake up in the morning, if you're not sure how to start, be a full-time Christian, get up in the morning and I want you to say a prayer, the first thing when you wake up. Start your day with a devotion. Start your day with Him before you get out and attack the world. And I want you to say some things to go along with this prayer. Lord, may nothing separate from me with you today. Teach me how to choose only your way so that each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, my own careless work, my own careless actions. Help me embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. Lord, I'll put you first. Amen. Then I want you to go about your day, talking about the 10 things that I gave you, taking time, taking devotions, not being afraid, remembering grace. And then I want you to get down on your knees right before you go to sleep at night, and I want you to say another prayer, something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, as I close my eyes and I prepare to rest, I come before you with a heart full of gratitude. Thank you for the blessings of this day. For the moments of joy, the challenges that have strengthened me, and the love that surrounds me. As I lay down to sleep, I trust you, O Lord. Grant me wisdom and discernment for the days ahead. Thank you, Father, for the unfailing love and grace that you have given me for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to leave these up here if you want to take a picture of them later on today. But I want you to remember that being a full-time Christian is a quest. It's about being passionate about something, and it's about prioritizing and making a point to put Him first and put Him last at the start and the end of your day. Everything else, I promise you, you're going to have to get better at it. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be exceptional. But if you put Him first, and you remember to put Him last and thank Him for grace, somewhere in that middle, you're going to find how to become a full-time Christian. Every day, every week, we ask if you haven't committed your life to Christ yet, we ask you to give you that opportunity and let you take the time to get baptized and accept the grace that you were given as we stand and sing our closing invitation.